Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
It is Egg Bowl week. It is time to talk about the Ole Miss Rebels. Michael Borky joins me from Sports Talk Mississippi, the Rebel Report. What are you doing?
Pumping myself up. Let's go. Okay.
I get it.
I'm my own hype man here.
If you can't hype yourself up, no, who else will? I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Jerod Hamilton from Power Mizzou last week. They were coming off of a loss that effectively eliminated them from playoff contention. That's where Ole Miss kind of is right now. I know you just tweeted, but I'm not going to buy into that hype.
So there's no hype to it. There's no hype.
There's no logic either. Don't even start.
But the thing is, there is logic. And that's what's so ridiculous about the situation, because Ole Miss does not deserve to make the playoff. I don't think they deserve it. They have not played well enough. They have lost three games that they should not have lost. They don't deserve to make the playoff. Right. But if the committee ranks them 14 tonight, if they get ranked 14 tonight,
you're saying there's a path.
There is a path. Now, it takes three losses.
It's fraught with peril.
But, I mean, in 2 weeks, three losses in front of them, it could happen. Now, it starts with having to look really good on Friday. But there is a path, and so you're talking...
Let's just simmer down here.
You're asking the question about motivation.
That's what I'm asking you about. Well, not even motivation. It's more like mentally. Where is this team mentally coming into this game?
Well, I think we'll find out in the first 15 minutes on Friday. There's no way of knowing for sure, but if I'm Lane Kiffin, that's what I'm trying to sell to them. Even though, personally, I don't think they deserve to make the playoff, it's, hey, ranked 14, look good, and, I mean, you saw what happened last Saturday. Chaos can happen. That's what I would sell to them to try to keep them engaged. But that's the question in this game is, how bought in will the team continue to be after they lost a game which should eliminate them from playoff contention? I mean, you've got a lot of guys. And, you know, what's funny is that the questions about motivation, all people point to the guys on defense. But those are the ones that have given you consistent effort and execution all season through injury and other things. So, like, the question of, you know, will Walter Nolan, the one-year rental, be locked in for the Egg Bowl? I mean, he's played through a bad ankle and now a messed up hand really all season. And so him, like, giving it up now doesn't seem likely, especially when another really good performance, his draft stock continues to go up and up and up. But there's no way to know for sure, but that is the question in this game, is how locked in will Ole Miss be after the disappointment that was last Saturday?
And for Dart, locked in's not the issue for him. That guy plays at a high level. But, you know, one of the great football cliches is don't let one game beat you twice. You saw the emotion of Dart after that game and on the sidelines there. Are there concern that he's just going to be emotionally disconnected in the wrong way here?
Especially because of what happened after the game. But I mean, this loss, you could talk about the Florida loss for hours, because after the game...
We did, just yesterday.
But I mean, like, 10 hours.
Yeah.
Because after the game, Jackson Dart takes to the podium, and he apologizes to everyone. He's like, I'm sorry to the team, I'm sorry to the fans, to the school, to the town of Oxford. He's like, I let you guys down, I'm so sorry. And I thought, one, that's a pretty admirable thing for a quarterback to do. But two, that he's not the one that should be making that apology to anybody. I'm with you, though. You kind of set it up with you generally should not worry about Jackson Dart's motivation. If through all the criticism that some of it, a lot of it's justified over the years, or questions about ceiling and things like that. Effort and toughness has not been a thing that you can question. And truly, I would be surprised if after the emotions kind of died down on Saturday, he didn't get back to work in practice on Sunday and try to get everybody locked back in. Because even though, you know, they have come up short of expectations for sure, I mean, there's still a lot of legacy for him to leave behind. And he was kind of the ringleader in the production of this roster. Mm-hmm. And so I of all players on this team, I think the one that you should be least worried about, like, being adequately prepared and locked in and motivated, is Jackson Dart.
I don't want you to go too far down into the rumor mill. I don't want you to dig in the dirt or anything like that. But why the hell does Ulysses Bentley not play for Ole Miss? Just what is your thought process there? Because you'd be undefeated. Ole Miss would be undefeated if they had just given either paid Judkins or given Bentley the carries that we know from his talent he can deliver on.
I mean, the only conclusion that I can come to that makes sense is personal. And that doesn't necessarily mean scandal, per se, because there's a lot of, and you know this, you've covered Mississippi State for how many years? You know that sometimes rumors fly out of nowhere, and not only are they illogical, but they're also like personally damaging.
Yes.
There are things being said about not necessarily Bentley, but other people around that I wish would stop. Right. Because it's starting to err on the side of disgusting innuendo about young women, and that needs to stop.
Yeah.
But I don't know, because no answer has been adequate, right? Because you brought it up just now, that they let, regardless of how you think the Judkins thing played out, Judkins leaves, and that situation was toxic at the end, and he goes elsewhere. And by the way, that's one of those rare breakups where both sides lost.
Yeah,
I mean, he did not get starter reps at Ohio State, and his stock has kind of gone down a little bit because Henderson outplayed him this season. He's the better back. But if you allow that situation to happen, right? So Judkins leaves. The first thing they did in the messaging out of the program was, gotta lock down Bentley. Gotta make sure he stays, and they paid him to stay. A lot of money. And all offseason, he was the guy that was promoted as, hey, Judkins is gone, but look at this dynamic back that they – look at what he did last year.
I go back
to how explosive he is.
I go back to media days when we talked to Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl, and he was like – he was telling us scouts wanted to see more of Bentley and less of Judkins last year.
Yeah, and Lane kind of ripped on Pro Football Focus yesterday, but the head of the Senior Bowl, who has Super Bowl rings as a scout – and deals with scouts every single day of his life for his career, does not make up that NFL teams have a higher grade on Bentley than Judkins. He doesn't make that stuff up. He doesn't pander that way. That's just an honest opinion. So you have this guy coming back, and you bring in two more guys from the transfer portal, Henry Parrish and Rashad Amos, who State fans are very familiar with. They know who that guy is because they recruited him and they had him committed for a period of time. So you bring these two guys in, and Parrish is the starter, which is fine. An experienced back, played at Ole Miss multiple years, veteran player, and he did fine. Like, he did good things. He was fine. So him starting is, that's okay. But his backup was a walk-on. His backup was a walk-on that when you watched play, you knew, yeah, he can get yards against Furman in Middle Tennessee, but that's not an SEC back, and you know it. And yet he still got meaningful snaps. And then he gets hurt. And then Parrish is banged up. And so all of this is going on, and people are wondering where Bentley is, but they're winning games, and Parrish is doing good things. So it's kind of an offshoot question, not at the forefront. And then Baton Rouge happens, and you give him 11 carries, and he runs for 110 yards. Ole Miss is only 100-yard rushing season by a player this year. Was that one game?
Mm-hmm.
And on a fourth and short, he breaks off a long touchdown run in a way that nobody else on that team could.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, that takes away the, oh, he's lost a step, or the walk-on is better than him. And then he stops playing again. And you continue on, and then you get to Georgia, where he only had like 30 rushing yards against Georgia, mm-hmm. but he had a red zone touchdown,
right?
Which is something that they struggled with on Saturday, 0-for-3 in the red zone. He scored a red zone touchdown and then caught the ball nicely out of the backfield. Like, made big plays against Georgia, but then a game later can't touch the field again. So it's like, if he isn't good enough to play, then why do you play him in big spots in Baton Rouge and against Georgia? Mm-hmm. And then when you do, he produces.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make sense. And then the he's not consistent enough thing that Kiffin said on Sunday, that doesn't make sense either when you're playing a converted wide receiver at running back the majority of the snaps.
Mm.
So none of that makes any sense. And then on top of that, the aforementioned Rashad Amos doesn't get a single meaningful snap this season. Not one. Not a single one. So that was...
I can't help but think State dodged a big bullet with Amos, just not bringing him in. It feels like...
Did they?
I don't know, but it's...
We don't know.
I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with that guy.
But so you either grossly misevaluated that player, which is that's a problem. That is an issue. And you could not develop Bentley, or he regressed, which is an issue, or it's personal and mismanagement, which is an issue. Like, that's a long-winded way to say I don't know why it's happening. There are rumors, and there's no way to know what's true and what's not.
Right.
But the trust the coaches angle was removed when he played and produced. And when you play a converted wide receiver over him, and like Dominic Thomas, who did some nice things, he couldn't play over a converted wide receiver either. Rashad Amos couldn't play over walk-ons. There is no answer that is acceptable, even if it's as simple as some people are saying that, well, the coaches just don't believe he's the answer. Well, that's a failure too. It is exclusively a failure at the running back position after letting Quinshon Judkins walk.
So you're one of the few people that I interview that I know follow State as closely as they follow the team that they cover. And so with that being said, you've watched this Mississippi State team. You know how poor they've been on the offensive line this year. Sort of like last week where I said, you know, with Missouri, like I'm not sure who slows down Luther Burden. Now, Burden didn't have a huge game. He did have a really nice touchdown catch, and he made a few plays. But, you know, State's inability to stop the run was its undoing. Kind of the same thing again this week. Ole Miss hasn't run the ball well at all this year. I fully expect them to be able to run the football. But where I'm worried State loses the game, or where it gets away from them quickly, is the fact that they're going to have trouble blocking this Ole Miss offensive line, our defensive line. If you're Mississippi State, you know, I'll put you in maroon and white here for a second. What's the game plan there? How do you try to neutralize what Ole Miss does so well, and that's get after the passer without blitzing?
Is there a way? Because there's probably not one. I mean, if you know the question of motivation, if that defensive front is motivated, then my expectation is that they will make it really hard on MVP and that Mississippi State offensive line. I mean, that group, for all the questions about, you know, portal recruiting and, you know, did they use the money the right way? Because I've seen a lot of people say Ole Miss wasted all of that money. No, they didn't waste all of it.
They wasted on that side of the ball. Not one penny.
Because Walter Nolan is exactly, and he's been all season exactly as advertised. Princely's been exactly as advertised. Pegues and Ivy and Perkins, I mean, they lead the country in sacks and tackles for loss for a reason. And it's not just because of the non-conference games. They have been truly effective against everybody all season long and consistently so. And on top of that, their linebacker play is also really, really good. And so, yeah, I think that it's going to be a very long day for Mississippi State's offensive line. Those guys are all going to be playing in the NFL next year, with the exception of Perkins, because he, by rule, cannot. But the other four will be, and two of them possibly first-round picks. And they are every bit as advertised as you think that they are. The key for State, I mean, Florida was able to do it some, explosive runs. And, you know.
State's been better in the run game these past couple of weeks. Devon Booth has had some big games. That possibility is there.
That is absolutely there. And at times, Ole Miss has given up some. Explosive runs is a relative term. I mean, we're talking about, you know, first down runs, not, you know, untouched for 50 yards kind of thing.
Right. That a 12-yard run is fine, yeah.
But they gave that up some last week against Florida. But what's crazy is, I mean, that was a quote-unquote bad game for that defense. Florida averaged fewer than 4 yards per carry, yeah. And they scored touchdowns on 3 of their 14 possessions.
Yeah.
So it's a defense that's absolutely as advertised.
Where is Ole Miss weak? Either side of the ball, where are they weak?
Well, they can't run the ball. They've struggled doing that. Wide receiver health now is becoming interesting, and tight end health as well. You're not going to see Trey Harris in this game. Jordan Watkins has been dealing with a hamstring injury. Little talked about, little discussed. Juice Wells has actually been dealing with a nagging injury as well. He hadn't played well, and that's kind of hurt that discussion on top of it all. But I mean, Caden Priestcorn's been playing on a torn ligament in his knee, if you believe the rumors. And Daquan Wright got hurt. Now he's going to play on Friday, but he got hurt in the Florida game. So Ole Miss is kind of limping in from a weapons perspective offensively. And at times, the secondary has given up big plays. Trey Amos has been excellent. I mean, he's a true lockdown corner, but they have at times given up some explosive plays in the passing game. It's been much better lately than it was earlier in the season, but I think the second defensive back is somebody that, you know, Mississippi State can exploit if given the opportunity to throw the ball. But it's the inability to run. It's banged up weapon-wise offensively, and it's at times they've given up explosive plays when teams are not targeting Trey Amos. When they're targeting the other side of the field, they've found some success.
All right, you know that every week here on the pod when we do our preview, we pick a player called an X Factor. Not necessarily the guy who's going to have the biggest game offensively or defensively, but somebody who could slip under the cracks and make a big play in this game that makes a difference. Now, I'm not going to be honest with you. You know, when I get to my prediction on Friday's show, I'm not predicting a close game at all. So you got some options here, I guess. Who's somebody that, you know, outside of Dart, outside of Nolan, outside of Perkins, that you could say, hey, they could have a big day on Friday?
So this is kind of a cop-out because he's a Butkus finalist, but Chris Paul Jr., I refuse to say his nickname. It makes me uncomfortable. Pooh Paul.
Pooh Paul?
He is... He's a Butkus finalist for a reason. He's been spectacular for Ole Miss. And, you know, the defensive line got all the hype and all the attention, and that's all people talk about. But they've got a middle linebacker that's having, I mean, possibly the best season at that position since Patrick Willis. Mm. I mean, truly, he's been that good for them this year. So, I mean, you'll see him be really active. He's a tackle for loss machine. And that'll be the guy, I think, that State fans may not be too familiar with. They're familiar with the other guys on defense, but that'll be the guy that when they're watching the game on Friday, they'll think, damn, who is that guy and where did he come from? And sure enough, it was Arkansas.
We'll see what happens on Friday. Plenty of coverage on Sports Talk Mississippi over the next couple of days. And, of course, Borky and I will be live on Friday. It's to one now, right? 9 to 1. We're on for 4 hours.
Is it? I didn't know that.
That's what I saw in an email. I'm pretty sure nice. We're on for 4 hours. Monday, taking you all the way into the pregame show for both Ole Miss and Mississippi State on Friday. Michael Borky, Sports Talk Mississippi, The Rebel Report. Thank you, friend.
Anytime.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.